So good morning, this is Yvan Tina. I'm here on Creative Disturbance and Metalife, and today I have a very special podcast. It has been a long time that I'm trying to set up a podcast recording with him. His name is Adam Zaretsky. Good morning, Adam Zaretsky.
Good morning, Yvan. I wanted to let you know that dystopian, utopian VR warships have entered, granularizing the boundaries of supposed unless. So if cinema rape is captain, then our fear of a zither sequel planet is undue. Tactical linguistic culling certified the calm ministers under a single fracas carotene-fed upright pre-office. Make the soggiest version of yourself. Mr. Boundary himself has numbers in, I think it's in Sarts and Cretes and Koans. If surreal collater, then show me a world where ties rap about the Tet Offensive. Miss Proton is properly reared. She itemized euthanasia mementos of Croats, enthused by keys. Very technical stricture and UN alienated, she shows undue Eurothanatos among the duodenal dancer citizenry. Here's the phrase in the thighs and the thugs. I thought I'd start with that. Hi, Yvonne.
Thank you very much, Adam. Okay, so what was the name of this poem?
Oh, I don't know. It's taken from Commencement for Teens. It's sort of a computer-aided design poem that it's voluminous. It's long. It's actually a lot of fun, and I like to start off by just saying something non-linear, because often artists, when you actually talk to them, are super rational. We have sentence structure, grammar, the whole shebang, and this is an anti-reason momentum that we're trying to keep. So here's to modernism.
Okay, thank you very much. But for those who don't know you, can you please introduce yourself? Tell us who you are and what you do.
Oh, sure. So my name is Adam Zaretsky. I work with art and biology. I work with art and life, and I specifically am interested in transgenics, genetically modified organisms, their behavior, their way in the world. And I'm talking about transgenic organisms, all of the kingdoms, all of the phyla, including humans. And human gene editing has a special place in my heart, because I actually want to see how far ranging human gene editing can get us to, like what form we can become as sculpture or canvas, or however you want to put it. So I work with eco art and food art, body art, sometimes with non-human or animal studies art, and I work with art and biology. So that's like tissue culture, genetic modification, even things like epigenetics. I'm interested in multi-generational projects.
Okay, but there's also one side in your work that I am interested in is your... I mean, there's a lot of participation and performance involved in your project. Do you have something to say about it? Where does it come from?
Okay, so here's the simple answer. I grew up selling art in the street at craft shows. My parents make art. They make like 1,000 paintings a year. And so I'm mostly at home doing performance at street level. People want to have public performance of bio art. They're talking about inviting people into public labs. I like to go and meet the people on the battlefront, you know, like so street level art and biology laboratories I love, because people just wander by and they go, what the heck is that? And it sort of democratizes the art. People talk about demystifying science, but not everybody's keen on just setting up a table at a farmer's market or an organic food market. And that's sort of my favorite thing to do. So if I can do a tissue culture lab or make genetically modified organisms or micro-inject raw naked DNA at a table in the street where people can just walk up, to me that's a public understanding of science and public kind of remystification of the life world right there where you know, it's sort of random. It's about passing by.
So do you think that, from what I understand, is your art meant to be educative?
Well, that's a good question. I'm an educator. I teach. I have a doctorate. Okay. But I'm not just trying to teach facts. In other words, I'm doing art and science labs, but the science, I'm mostly talking about the bioethics of new technologies. And I'm talking about how to make a disjuncture, a dissonance, a disturbance in the force of science as, you know, sort of science as king. So what I'm interested in is not teaching people how to make new facts and get new data from living being, but how science works with living being and what that's like to feel when a non-expert is engaged in that. So to me, it's really amazing when people are actually able to understand and people are actually able to engage in the process of what goes on in the lab without mm-hmm. having to be taught science, to be educated in science. So mm-hmm. they're actually, by saying that, here's how you do tissue culture, here's how you do genetic modification, here's mm-hmm. how this works, but we're not making facts today. That gives people time to think about what they're doing, sometimes why they're doing it, and actually they get engaged with the process, mm-hmm. not with the product, right? And so yeah. it's a kind of education, but it's an education of what do you think bioethically after trying this about what this process is beyond data or utilitarian use value and directly experiencing things like, you know, altering embryology, you know, altering developing embryos, etc.
In one of your texts called Viva Vivo, Living Art is Dead, you asked a very good question at the beginning. So what is so sexy about the biological today, in particular into the context of bioart?
Well, the definition of sex in biology itself is when DNA mixes with other DNA to make new life forms, to make actually mutants, like a shuffle, right? Uh-huh. Genetic sex is shuffling genes. Sometimes it's done through asexual division where they're mostly cloned, but they change over time. But mm-hmm. sometimes it's done now with the sperm and egg. There are various mm-hmm. ways that organisms reproduce. And a lot of that has to do with mixing. I like mixing. I like mutation. I like difference. But genetic modification is a mechanized or a technological way of having sex. You're taking genes from one organism and you're actually putting them into the genome of another organism, shocking genes in, injecting genes in. You need biolistic shooting devices. You need electroporators or microinjectors. And this is a kind of technological, microscopic interlude, like a romance, maybe, but maybe not quite that romantic. Shocking, shooting, and injecting is not so romantic when it comes to inserting genes. It's sort of how it's done. You have to get through the membrane of the cell, you have to get through the nuclear membrane, and you have to get directly into, like, infect the genome. A transgene infection is a transgenic way of having sex. And so I'm sometimes interested in the instruments. Mm-hmm. What are the metaphors of the erotic metaphors of these instruments? But I'm also interested in the headspace or even the endorphin rush that people get when they're inserting their genes of choice into other living beings or even unborn living beings, soon to be born. And that kind of feeling, it's not just a feeling for the organism, feeling mm-hmm. with the organism, it's a feeling over the organism, right? So people want to get their papers published. People want to get the Nobel Prize. People want to keep their jobs, right? And so they're putting genes in that they think will stimulate publishing, stimulate possibly a new invention, a patent, you know, and in particular, stimulate mm-hmm. a whole new idea about life, something or other. But along the way, in their mind, before they even inject, before they shoot or shock, before they do that electroporation or that microinjection, they think about what genes they're going to choose to put in mm-hmm. to a living being to make difference. And that's actually kind of an erotic fantasy that they make come true. This is one of the things as an art form is that I thought it's unusual to go into a state of, you know, sort of trance cognition and channel an idea and make it out of clay, right? To sculpt it.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's really unusual to come up with a concept, a new concept in your mind and then sculpt it out of living being. It's kind of heavy-handed and have some critiques, mm-hmm. but I understand mm-hmm. that that is attractive. It has some sort of allure, like it's mesmerizing. Mm.
And you think that artists are attracted to that because of the possibilities that you just evoked? Or is it because it's a new type of material that involves also ethical issues?
Well, let's just say this. Right now, art is kind of liminal. You know, I mean, if you look at the amount of funding for the arts and you add 5 or 7 zeros, you'll get to the amount of funding for science. But science is also beating art at another game besides funding. Science is making better sculpture, better performance, better, how do I say, even conceptual art has been trumped by science, because if you paint a pig with a green nose, that's a great painting. But if you make a pig with a green nose, that's even better. If you make a pig that gives birth to pigs that have green noses, well, that's a multi-generational, you know, I mean, it's a time-based new media that kicks ass, right? So when I make a joke about time-based new media art, transgenics is the best time-based new media art there is, because it lives on, maybe even longer than you, this sort of imprint, and it's a signature being. If it goes free range, it may even, you know, live on beyond the human race. You may be leaving a mark on the life world. Now, that's really presumptuous, super egotistical, wildly narcissistic, and not good for the environment. But that sounds like most artists.